Hey everyone, welcome back to The Growth Signal. We are reimagining customer relationships, how we build them, how we keep them, and how we lead as customer expectations rapidly evolve. Today, I'm so excited to introduce you to our guests. Welcome to the show, Renu.
I'm glad to be here. Very excited for this conversation.
All right, let's jump right into it. What is your hot take?
So that hot take is there's going to be a premium on being a human being. Like, humans still want to interact with humans in this AI world. And we are losing the skill set of how to interact with others.
I wish that wasn't a hot take, but, it totally is. It's so frustrating, too, when I see stuff that is clearly AI. And, don't get me wrong, I'm an early adopter, right? So I love all things new. All things exciting. But I think you're right. The moments that I really need a person, right? There's a time and a place for your AI. When I'm trying to solve something simple, give me your AI, give me your article, whatever. But there's also a time and a place for not an AI. If I am in a situation where I need immediate response and I need the assurance that somebody is doing something about it, having that human to human interaction, having someone to call, I will gladly pay more for that safety and security.
Yes. And to add a bit more color to it, so I'm going to give a little bit of a story. I think we've stopped interacting in the hard stuff. And that is where the premium is. So I started my career, yes, I've been customer success, but I've always been customer facing. But in project management, went to client site. My first interaction with the customer was them yelling at me because no one had been interacting with them. The product they had bought was failing them. And they were just frustrated. And for 20 minutes, I just got yelled at. Ben, hi, how are you? Great to be here. How do you handle conflict but resolution or anger without escalating? That is a skill set in itself. And you don't know how to do that without the experience.
Yeah.
And I think so. For me, it was this is much more than my product. How do I hold space for this customer so I actually truly listen to them? And then clear out the feelings from, how can I take this forward?
Yeah, and with AI, right? If I'm going to log into some kind of system to talk to a chatbot, as a human, they aren't actually there to help you. They're there to respond to you. And those are different things. And so as people, we have to build this muscle of not just listening, but being responsive to what we're hearing, even if it's not what the customer wants to hear, but the ability to de-escalate and respond to what we're feeling. So was there a certain moment where you really sat up and said, being human is a premium now, and maybe that is or isn't the way it should be?
Yes. Honestly, why I took this hot take is I was listening to something recently, and someone had created a girl through ChatGPT.
I have heard that. That is wild to me.
And I saw it, and I was like, that's not a girlfriend. That is not a relationship. And I know that's a personal angle, but even when it comes into the business side, that is just someone. Imagine having an argument with your coworker and you put the argument in ChatGPT and say, hey, ChatGPT, give me the response. And you give that response to your coworker. Technically, it might be a right answer, but is it right for that situation?
Well, and here's the thing. I guarantee you that there are conversations out there that are actually just happening between two different ChatGPTs, and we the people are just copying and pasting those responses. There's definitely ChatGPTs arguing with ChatGPTs, and we're almost the messengers of those arguments rather than the actual people thinking it through and having that conversation.
Yeah, and part of de-escalating the conversation is, I want you to hear me. I want the investment. I want you to hold speech. And I want to feel heard, and then let me move forward from that. And I don't think that's really being, it's just anger or like being right and polished or perfect. And there's nothing in between.
Yeah. And to your point, like, okay, I'm guilty of putting my messages into ChatGPT and being like, okay, fix this for me, because I'm trying to like get the right tone. Right. But at the end of the day, it's still my message and I want people to hear me, which is why I'm using this tool to try to be clearer or less emotional or more concise or whatever I'm trying to achieve. If I'm trying to create an environment where being a person is maybe not a premium, maybe it's just something that like this is culturally what we do. You know, as a leader, as someone who's working in customer success, I'm sure you're hearing the same thing I'm hearing. We have to do more with less, and we have to scale, and we have to automate and integrate all of these agents. So where is the balance between scale, automation, and humanity?
So I think the humanity is being taken out of those items. And I get it. We answer to a board, and board has to make dollars. That's just the way the model's broken. I have a different hot take on that. That's for another podcast. But one, personal accountability, right? We don't hold ourselves personal to our customers as much. And we need to, because at the end of the day, who we're servicing, even though technically our paychecks are coming from a company. And then two, I think with customer success, you know, we talk about outcomes and we talk about results, but it's not the destination. You're there with them through the whole journey while they're there with you. And so how do you consistently deliver what you say you're going to do and setting those expectations?
Yeah, I have a hard time too, right? Because like I'm an entrepreneur, right? So small business, trying to do everything we can for the customers. But sometimes that means telling the customer no and being honest and doing things that your help and support articles could never do. And I actually had a customer one time who I was saying yes to them on everything because I wanted to be their friend and I wanted them to like me and I wanted them to keep doing business with me. And me saying yes actually ended up in her not getting the best version of what she could from our services, right? There was a better way to do it. And at the end, when we were kind of doing our report readout, I said, you know, and here are the findings. And she had a question about it. And I said, well, you know, if we would have done it this way, we would have been able to answer that question for you, but you wanted it fast. So we did it fast. And she looked at me and she said, Alyssa, your job is to tell me how to get my best outcome. And maybe I won't choose to do it that way, but I at least need to have the option instead of you just making that choice for me. And so when we're, but again, something only a human could do. So when you're building
also
those relationships.
Something you could only learn from experience.
Oh my God. Yeah. I will never again. Like I was so embarrassed. I was young in career and she literally like looked at me and she goes, I'm paying you to tell me the best way forward and then let me make the choice. You don't, if you don't give me the options, then like, what am I paying you for? And I'm, you know, mortified because I'm embarrassed and conflict avoidant in general. But, you know, as a leader in customer success, as someone who's driving this forward, how do you build those relationships with your customers and keep the humanity in it?
I think from your story, it's a perfect example of trust is built at no, at consistency and giving and receiving feedback. And if you're not transparent in those, like, then you're just kind of just verbally spitting out things. And I also think sometimes being a little too polished and too perfect, that kind of takes away the humanness, right? Like when you crack a joke with a customer, because you're like, oh man, like that stings. Or I can say, hey, we only have this amount of resources. You know, this is what I can do. That's how you kind of bring in. And I also think they're paying not only for your experience and expertise, but saying, I understand your situation and where you're going from. And yeah, like, this is not great. Like acknowledging that the environment that they're in, you know, we're in a post-Doge world right now, or yeah, you're seeing things that never happened. It was rattled. You're out of a job or you might be out of a budget.
Right.
Those are hard circumstances. And they need to hear things like that, because it's not like just, oh, here's the answer. Like, there's a whole context to that.
Yeah. And that's definitely hard. I love that you say trust starts at no, right? And like building that trust through consistent and transparent actions and taking and giving feedback. But also, like, by the way, that client that I mentioned, she's still a client. It's been 10 years. Like, we did manage to get past that moment and improve. And I think our relationship is definitely stronger for it, because one, she gave me the feedback and I took it, right? And I acknowledged it and I moved forward. When you're building a team, right? Because you're a team leader. When you're building a team or coaching your team or driving them through this customer success motion to try to really build actual relationships with your customers, what are some of the things that you're seeing people do, and how are you coaching them to change that behavior to be more effective?
I think the first thing is, and it is hard to do, but the biggest thing is reacting right away and not taking a moment to like understand the context of the whole situation. Because we're so plugged in and it is 24/7 and we're working with global teams, like people are like, oh, you need to respond and create and do all these things, but not taking the time to actually think about, okay, what is actually going on. So I'll give an example without giving too many clues on the actual customer, but recently I had a customer, it was a changing of a guard. And the customer is going through vendor consolidation. One of the vendors they're considering to consolidate. They've never worked with our product. They worked with a competitor before in their previous life. And all they say is they're upset and I don't like your product. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. This other product does it better. Your team just makes decisions without me. All this other stuff. And everyone just kept providing answers on, oh, how are we different than the competitor? How are we? And so I actually stepped away from the email and I stepped away and I just actually took some time to think and like process like all their reactions. And I was like, let me put myself in the shoe of the person taking guard. And what are the things that are coming up, that it's more deeper than just, hey, I don't like your product. So yes, one, they didn't understand their product. Two, they don't know our people and they're capable of, they're experts, their roles. And then three, this person taking over a whole new role in a new organization, they probably don't understand the context of what's been done historically and where their team is going.
Right.
And so I had the idea, after really thinking this through, like, we just need to do like a reintroduction or re-kickoff and treat this like a new onboarding process with a customer. And there is no like logical sequence, but sometimes that's because of where they are and who they are. That's what's needed right now.
Well, and I love the idea of doing almost a re-onboarding, right? Because that doesn't happen very often. A lot of people will look at this and say, like, we've already onboarded them. I'm not going to waste your time. You probably have a ton going on. So I don't know that when it comes to, you know, making the reinvestment, how do you position that as a re-onboarding to not feel like a waste of time for your team or a waste of time for the person who's going through it? How do you frame that for them?
Yeah. So I would have used the word re-onboarding. I'd actually used it as a kickoff for the next 6 months and saying, okay, let's talk through what are your priorities? And let me show you that we've grown up a lot as a product since you've used it. And what are the features available to you that, because we're catching this earlier in the cycle, so it's not a last minute thing, so that I can have that. In my mind, in CS speak, it is a re-onboarding, but we don't speak to and speak to a customer. So like, okay, we're going to have a kickoff for the next to align our incentives to your strategy.
Yeah, no, I like that. And reconnecting like any moment when you're in a changing of the guard situation, right? That can be a real inflection point for your renewals, right? Anytime someone new comes in, that's a big risk factor, at least in my experience. So I like the idea of reconnecting it to the current experience and almost like, let me reintroduce myself, right?
And reintroduce the team, right? Like, we're no longer the same people. You're no longer the same people. Our other person was our champion before. Okay,
right.
You no longer have a champion. What yeah. Are you going to give up or are you going to keep going? And that's the grit that you need to continue.
So what do you think is the biggest blind spot for customer success, customer-facing leaders? What are they missing?
The biggest blind spot, honestly, is we all have to answer yes financially, and we all now know that we're revenue speaking, and we have to say this is how the investments we're making impact our revenue and how we're bringing out. But then how do we hold ourselves accountable to what the customer actually needs, right? Because I think we overcorrected so hard to speak revenue that we forgot that there's a middle ground into we still need to speak customer.
Yeah, I think that that's that is so on point, because how many times do we hear like you have to connect everything to ROI and everything has to connect it to the bottom line and their strategic success, and if you want to be a strategic advisor or a trusted advisor and you can't connect it to revenue, well, you won't be able to do that. But
or what is the TCV and the ARR and
oh my god, yeah,
other things and
all like, these acronyms that I have to have like a handbook on next to me to say, okay, ARR stands for this and this, all these different acronyms.
Yes, money is important. We all got bills to
yes
pay.
We're not here just to hang out and be friends.
Yeah,
but can we do both? So what are you working on right now? What is the biggest challenge that you or your team or your motion is trying to solve?
Honestly, the biggest challenge that I'm trying to solve is redefining value. Well, we make value such a vague word, and also strategy as another one that like gets thrown around. And I think with budget shrinking, job shrinking, people shrinking, they may not be buying as many products as they are, or it not might not be about just cost savings. And so redefining what that metric looks like based on, we're actually doing NPS surveys out to the customer of what, and I know we're smiling because they're like, but we're doing it to like re-gauge what priorities look like, because I don't think that's really been, I did the environment is shifting more than ever, and re-gauging what that actually matters to the customer.
Awesome. What do you think? So I'm a customer success leader, and I want to really think about how to build a high-performing team, especially in CS or post-sales. What is the one thing you would have them start doing to help move along that path?
I put culture as well. One's transparency, two, accountability, abundance mindset. I think we've gone into this like negative, like there's not enough, we're all in competition, and a little lightness and humor. It's gotten like very serious. And then lastly, this was something big, but I want to reintroduce it in a sort of a priority of mine, is community. We've lost community.
Yeah.
And agreeing to grow together versus like you know, these are the metrics. This is what you need to do. I mean, offline, we say return to work. So if offline is the new online and we're bringing everybody back together, how are we reinvesting in that community together?
I love the phrase agree to grow together, because I do think that it has to be something that you agree to. It has to be something that you connect on. It has to be something that you've, you know, made that connection and the agreement to do it, and not just assumed that growth is part of the process.
Right, because if you're going to invest in the humanness, you also have to bring the people along with you, because this is actually kind of radical stuff, which is sad, but true.
Isn't it weird that it is radical, though? Like, I think there's enough of us out there who want this and believe that this is the way forward. I think we all just have to agree to grow together, as you said, and maybe build a community of leaders and people who want to see the humanity back into the tech automation space.
While still having to perform and living coexisting with all of that. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. So Renu, if someone is really connecting with you, they want to learn more, where can they find you online?
I am on LinkedIn, Renu Ahluwalia, easy to search. It's probably the easiest way to find me. I kind of do try to post random thoughts on there every once in a while.
Awesome. Well, I'll link
the Tampa Bay area, so sometimes I do CS Connects in the Tampa Bay area as well. So reach out there.
And, you know, thinking about all the incredible people you've had a chance to meet or thought leaders, who do you think is leading the charge? Who is changing the way we build relationships with our customers?
I'm actually gonna go with a non-CS person because I feel like everyone is. And if I'm bringing back the human and humanness, I'm gonna go with Simon Sinek. Just because I feel like in CS, we're all starting to be a little ChatGPT and talk the same, sound the same. And if we are reinvesting in how to connect with people, we need to start looking at experts who are already doing that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me on The Growth Signal. This was a great conversation.
I had a great time too. Thank you.